Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Richard Osborne and the Expert Language Trainer Podcast. Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 11 of the Expert Language Trainer Podcast. In this episode, I'd like to talk about something that is important to everybody, but something that I don't talk about often enough, which is making money as a language trainer. So it came to my mind recently because it's something that I've been privately trying to do over the last couple of years, is to, as a language trainer, make more money in the sense of freeing myself from the R by R kind of, you know, I'm paid by the R, so if I work 8 hours a day, I make a good amount of money. If I work 10 hours a day, I make more. If I work 20 hours a day, then I make more. It was the kind of thing that I realized at one point that, you know, you can't ever scale with that sort of logic. And so I'm going to reach 40, 50, 60 years old and still be getting paid, you know, nobody's going to pay me 100 euros an hour to teach them English or do English training with them face to face. So, you know, it's never going to arrive at a scale where I say, oh, I've got 40 years experience. And so I charge my learners, 200 euros an hour or whatever, that you're going to actually be making the kind of money that you can then retire with and that you can feel like you've actually, increased your revenue. So it was a thought of mine for a really long time. You know, what can you do? And the most obvious answer is the digital stuff. You know, you see a lot of trainers on the internet, and they've got their digital offers. They've got a website. They're selling a package, you know, for a certain price, and they've developed this material once, and then they're selling it multiple times. So you've got to that scalable model where you have a product. And it's not just your time that you're selling, it's a product, and you can sell that product to 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people. It doesn't make a difference to you, it just means more money, right? So you don't spend more time just because you've got 1,000,000 people who are buying it. So that's obviously very attractive. It's something you see other people doing, you see them being successful with it, and it's very attractive. And so there's a lot of influencers now on the net who would, you know, tell you how they've done it and what you can do to do something similar. And I, you know, big respect. I think that's really great that people are sharing the secret, you know, not just keeping it to themselves. And I think that's something we should continue doing, because I would love it if language training was one of those careers where it was seen as a career that has a progression, that has a path up to, you know, a higher level of income, that it's not just, you know, if it became one of those ones listed on the careers advice list of, you know, what's the average salary of an English teacher? What would an English teacher earn after 10 years, after 20 years? What sort of jobs are available after, you know, like you would have if you say, I want to work in finance. You say, oh, but you can start as a finance assistant and you get paid 20 grand a year. And then after 10 years, you'll be paid 40 and you might become a senior accountant and then you'll be paid 100. And so you can see this kind of clear progression. It's not just a traveling job. Like a lot of us got into it because we wanted to, a lot of us got into language training because we wanted to travel. And we didn't think about, is that going to be a future career for me? We just thought, I really want to travel. That was the top primary concern. And then maybe like me, you know, I traveled a bit, I settled down in France, and, you know, now I have a family here and I really want to make this, you know, make a life work here for myself. I don't want to travel necessarily anymore. I would like to travel, but not to move countries again, if that makes sense. You know, France should be my home base. I feel very, you know, attached to France now. I feel quite happy to be in France and that I could spend the rest of my life in France. So at that point, you say to yourself, well, you know, I want to buy a house one day and I want to, you know, leave something behind for my kids, and I want to have savings, and I want to, you know, to actually make a life in France. So either, you know, you learn the language and you get into whatever career you had before. So for me, it was finance. I was actually in finance. So I could, you know, learn the French system and whatever and get in that way and work in finance. But part of the reason I left was not just I wanted to travel, but also I didn't like the job I was working in. And I think that's the same probably for a lot of people who, you know, the travel bug bites you because you actually don't like your job anymore and you want to get out and you want to change. So, you know, that's the reason why I came, and I wouldn't want to get back into finance. So I want to use the expertise that I built up. I've been in language training for 10 years. After 10 years, and I was 8 years full-time training, you know, 6 hours a day training, I'm pretty good at training now. It's one of those things, kung fu, you know, what's the definition of kung fu? It's something that you just do so often, so frequently, and so, you know, intensely that you just become the master of it, you know, just nothing surprises you anymore, and you just like, it's like a knee-jerk reaction. So for me, teaching English to adults became a knee-jerk reaction. It was something I didn't even have to think about, how to deal with their issues and how to deal with their psychological problems and getting them over barriers and explaining grammar points to them in a way they could understand and all that sort of stuff. You do it so many times, so often, when you're teaching 6 hours a day or more for 8 years solid, you know, that I mean, it wasn't, at a certain point, it sort of becomes not challenging anymore as well. So it's not just about the money, it's also about professional development, but, you know, professional satisfaction, let's say. But this episode is about money, so I'll try to stick to the point. So you see all these offers and you think, okay, the e-learning thing, the digital thing, that's the way to go. I'll make a product. But it's not really clear how to do that. So that's one way to do that. We'll talk a bit about that in a minute. There are other ways that people do that I've seen that are really good, where, like we talked about before, I think, where people, you know, in the last episode I was talking about people who are doing specialist training. So people who train themselves to be lawyers, you know, to know the legal language, train themselves to know the nursing language or medical language, and they go and they teach a very specific niche of language learners. Then they can charge more because it's much, you know, if you're charging 60 euros an hour, 80 euros an hour for somebody who really knows the subject, you know that you're going to get way more value out of it. So it's better to do that. You're going to get more return on investment from that as a learner. If you pay somebody that amount of money, it's, you know, it's going to come back to you because you're going to get trained faster. So you're going to be more efficient faster. You're going to be able to achieve your objectives faster. So it makes sense to pay more for that. So it's one way to do it. And then there's the, you know, you see a lot of people today with the digital way, not necessarily doing a, you know, an e-learning offer, but doing stuff online. So doing like, you know, Skype sessions, webinars, doing group sessions, you know, doing it from their own home, so they're not having to travel. So they've got that, you know, expenses being reduced. They don't have to travel anymore. That they don't have to pay for materials or photocopies or whatever it is, you know, renting a room to have the lesson in, that, you know, you sometimes have to pay for that depending on what your context is. So people doing it online, you know, that there's a lot of people out there. If you look on Instagram, go on Instagram and search for hashtag learn English, for example, or English, you know, any, and look for the top hashtags that have English in them, or Spanish, that's another big one on there, Portuguese, but mostly it's English. Whether it's native speakers teaching English, they're recording videos on there, or it's very often non-native speakers. I found that a lot recently, a lot of non-native speakers who are helping in their native language learn English. So, okay, I'm a Portuguese native speaker, I'm going to explain to you in Portuguese the best ways to learn English at a beginner level. That's fantastic. And I think that should absolutely be the number one way to learn at a beginner level, is to have somebody in your native language explain it to you first. And then, you know, afterwards you can continue with that, or you can move on to somebody who's native speaking. You know, at that point, it shouldn't make that big a difference. But I think at the beginning, it makes a huge difference having someone who can explain the language to you natively when you don't know any of the words. So, you know, if somebody's using the old Berlitz method and trying to just, you know, pump English into you by instructing you in English, and you're at a beginner level and your brain is exploding because you just can't understand, you can't understand the language and not even the instructions that the language is being taught to you in, you know, for me, it's so much better at a beginner level to have someone explain it to you in your native language, so that the time that you're spending exposed to the target language is less, but your understanding and is much greater, your stress is much less. You know, I think that that's really important. I think it's quite irresponsible to train face-to-face beginners only in English. So, you know, that's, for me, that's just, I would never do that. I don't think it's efficient. I think it's a waste of money and a waste of time for the learner. Yeah. So just to go down that road a little bit more, those people on Instagram recording videos of themselves explaining certain points, phrases, vocabulary, grammar points, you know, they're maybe they show a video and they explain something about it, whatever. And they've got, so they're not monetizing that necessarily, but they've got, in some cases, millions of followers. So millions of people who are watching them. You know, if you go onto YouTube and look at Ingvid, E-N-G-V-I-D, there's a whole group of people on there, and they've got 3 million followers or more. I can't remember. I think I saw one video with 3 million, but their channel has something, you know, millions of followers. And those are people who receive an update every time they post a video. And those are guys who don't do, so behind that, and I have much respect to them, they don't have any commercial offer behind that. They have a website where you can go and you can do quizzes to practice, and there's no commercial offer behind it. So there's no, you know, pay to go premium, or if you want to do the full course, then, you know, there's none of that. It's just, you can donate. There's a page where you can donate to them, but everything that's on their site is available for free. So that's great. Some people do that. For a lot of these Instagram trainers, you follow their videos to a website where there's more videos, more text, more, you know, 5 points to improve your English kind of downloads and PDFs and stuff. At some point when you're going through, you know, you sign up to their mailing list. They've got a really good sales pipeline. You sign up to their mailing list. It all seems very free and very easy. And then at one point you'll have a bit where it says, by the way, do you want to book me for a private session? Do you know, there'll be some offer like, do you want to really improve fast? Do you want to really, do you have a project that you absolutely need private coaching on, for example, something like that. And that's great. That's a really clever way to do it. You're approaching it from that sales funnel point of view where you're funneling in millions of people, like here in some cases, literally millions. And you're thinking that at some point, maybe 0.1% of those millions of people will buy, you know, will look at that offer and say, oh, that's actually for me, I really need that. You know, most of them will just be there learning for fun, or they'll just find you on Instagram and they're just, you know, following you for fun. But there'll be 0.1% of those millions who actually are in a context where they need coaching, and so they'll see that and say, oh, that's that funny teacher I keep seeing videos of, and they do coaching too. Oh my God, I totally have to book them. Oh, there's a link with an automatic calendar and I can book them online. Oh, I can pay using Stripe. You know, they've got that whole system set up so that they can get in quick and easy. So 0.1% of a million is, oh God, this is not good. I should have my calculator in front of me when I'm saying stuff like this. 1% of a million is 1,000. And so 10% of that is 100. So you've got 100, is that right? 100, somebody's going to correct me, I hope. 100 people. And that's not 100 people full stop. That's maybe, you know, you release a video and 100 people say that they want to sign up with you. And then next month you've got a new video and then another 100 people want to sign up with you. So it's a great model. It's a really, you know, even for that tiny percentage of people who want to actually engage and to take it further and to pay you, it's fantastic. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to convince them. You're convincing them just because they've seen your content. They think you're great. They think you're funny. You know, I talked a while ago about, it wasn't on the podcast, but it was in a LinkedIn article, I think, about Christina Rebouffet, who's a teacher who works here in France, who I think is originally Canadian or American. And she does that. She has that, you know, these LinkedIn videos, really common, quite frequent LinkedIn videos targeting specifically business English and also targeting, I think, people who are French, because I think she's explaining a lot of stuff with French examples. And then she's got a website behind it where she's got books, she's published stuff, and she's available for private coaching, and she runs training sessions at certain dates. So, you know, you can sign up, you pay a price, and then you get, you know, the training package, which is first lesson face-to-face with her, second lesson you do some online stuff, third lesson you do a video lesson where it's a recorded video of her, and then you give your opinion or whatever. So you have this whole program to follow, and that's also a really, really good way to do it. That's very clever, because you're going to catch that percentage of people who've seen your videos and just think, this person is just the best teacher ever. I would love to have them in front of me. They're so cool. They're so much fun. So there's no convincing needed. You don't need to, you know, it's very warm marketing. If you have ever looked at that concept, as opposed to cold calling or cold messaging, where you're sending a message saying, hey, do you need English training? You know, it's this much, pay me. That's, you know, cold, because they don't know you, and they have to evaluate that and say, okay, do I want to pay that? Warm is the sense that you've released content, you've put content out there, it's free, there's absolutely no obligation, there's no strings attached, they watch it, they love it, and then they're warm, they're already warmed up to you and the idea that you know, they're kind of like, take my money at that point, because they've seen your stuff and they love it, and so they just, you know, they don't need convincing, as I said, to move on to buy take the paid offer, because actually they'll develop that want themselves without you even offering it. They'll say, oh, I've watched these videos and they're awesome. I wish I could have this person as my English trainer. And then it's like, oh, coincidentally, by the way, did you know that I can be your English trainer? What? No way. That's exactly what I just wanted. Oh, that's funny. What a coincidence. Here's a whole system you can use to go through and pay and buy. And yeah, so obviously not a coincidence, but yeah. So that's the sort of sales pipeline. Publish free content, sales pipeline gets them through to the paid version of the content, or the paid offer, whatever it is, or multiple paid offers. There could be a sort of different tiers. There could be that, you know, higher tier high level in the funnel. So beyond just free content, millions of people, maybe you have a higher level where it's, you know, pay $50 and you get a book, and you know, you'll get, you know, 0.5% of people will take that. And then, you know, at a smaller level in the funnel, at a narrower level of the funnel, you're gonna have a boot camp where it's 2 weeks and you're in a group and whatever, and so that's, you know, $200, and that's, you know, maybe you'll get 0.2% of people will take that. And then you, at the very, you know, narrowest level of the funnel, it's gonna be people who need like private intensive coaching. So it's gonna be a more long-term thing or over a few months, and it's going to be paid at like 100 euros an hour or something like that. And so that's a big offer. But if you can even get 0.05% of people of those millions to actually engage with that and to take that, then, you know, you're making money. And essentially all you're doing is putting out content. You're not going to these people and pitching to them and trying to convince them. They just pull out their credit card and buy. So that's, you know, it's the ultimate way of doing it. And then, you know, this, so the whole, that's what, you know, if you do that, you get that in place, you're set then, because you just are going to build up a network of people. They're going to talk to their friends about it. You're going to get word of mouth. It's going to spread around the internet. And essentially, if you have 3 million followers, I'm not advocating that you have to go out there and get yourself 3 million followers. But if you're one of those people, then you're always, when you post, it's always going to be quite high up. You know, you're going to get lots of likes very quickly, and that post is going to jump to the top of the hashtag Learn English, for example. And so you're always, you know, you're never going to need to, once you've got to that level, you're never going to need to do anything else. And people might even contact you with commercial offers. They might contact you and say, hey, you're a massive influencer. Would you please promote my new grammar book or something like that? And I'll pay you commission every time you sell one of the books. And so, you know, you can really, becoming an influencer is obviously a great thing to do, and you can make a lot of money doing that. It reminded me of the first time that I ever twigged on to this. I was a bit late in the game, to be honest. I've been very late in the Instagram game. I haven't had my finger on the pulse. It's only been recently I've been really looking into it, really seeing some of the big influencers on there. And it reminded me of, it was a few years ago, it was 2017. There was a story published. I'll put a link to it. And this was, I'm not sure if this is the guy I watched. I tried to dig it out today. I think it was the same guy. I can't remember his name. I'm looking at the story here of what I think was that story from 2017, which was a guy in China called Zhu Wei, who is an English teacher, online tutor. He set up his company in 2015, and then in 2017, 2 years later, they were reporting that he's making $2 million a year. So that's where you say, right, okay, that's just not possible. It doesn't compute. English teacher, $2 million a year. No. And he's doing it alone? Yeah. But this is the whole influencer thing. This was back, you know, before I even knew about it, and maybe it wasn't that popular. So somebody got in there really early, managed to, on Chinese social networks and Chinese whatever, you know, they have their own specific networks there, build himself up a massive amount of followers. You know, he's got, what's this? You know, there's just the stats here about it, that he's making online courses. So it'll be 2 hour sessions over streaming, and so he's streaming the content out over their version of YouTube, and he's getting people to come and watch it for, it says here, $116 per person for 2 hours. Do you think that's not possible? $50 something an hour, that's a lot for a webinar, basically. And actually in China, the story was about how it's really important for Chinese kids to learn English, because they've got the exam that comes up before university, that English exam they have to pass or they don't get in to university, so that, you know, their life, for them to make the life they want for themselves, they have to learn English. A lot of people live outside of, you know, big cities. China's a big place, and so there's a lot of places where there's no English teachers readily available. There's no natives readily available somewhere nearby, so they're relying on native-speaking Chinese people to teach English, which is fine. Maybe they don't have somebody with a high enough level. Maybe the quality's not great. You know, whatever the problem is. A lot of more affluent parents are then going and looking for a way to get their kid an education in English online, because they don't have locally anything available. So this guy came in at that point where the internet was developing and people were, I guess, looking online for stuff like that. I'm sure he wasn't the first, but certainly it's a great example of how he promoted himself as, come and do my training, it's in Chinese, it's super high quality, I've got a whole program, and I'll get your kids ready for that test. And so he's got 2,300 subscribers per video, it says here on the news story. So he's pulling in $270,000 per two-hour session, which is just kind of, not per two-hour session. That was per online course. So, you know, however many online courses he's doing a year, he says his team are able to build 5 courses, including languages, Korean and Japanese, earning $1.6 million. They seem like impossible figures, but when you consider it from the perspective of making an offer, you have the market there, they want it, they want to learn English, and they don't have a local trainer. They can pay for a private trainer to do face-to-face with them on Skype, or they can go with this guy who's got the reputation of being the best online teacher in China. And therefore, if you go and you pay for his stuff, it's, you know, not that much more expensive probably than hiring a private tutor, you know, if it's $50 an hour. For him, and it's $30 an hour for somebody you do private lessons, you would think, well, maybe actually it's better if you do this guy, because he's got the whole course, he's got the whole package. So it's not just speaking with him, it's also going online and doing exercises and writing stuff and clicking things and quizzes and whatever. So that's what I want for my kid. And he's guaranteeing, and he has the statistics then of, oh, I've taken thousands of Chinese kids to the exam and I've got a pass rate of 90%. I don't know what he does, but I'm just giving an example. Of how he's then, that parent is saying, oh, okay, take my money. And he doesn't have to do anything. He just has to be big. He has to be well-known, big, popular. He needs to be putting out content, I guess. He's putting out free content, I can imagine. There's something in there that's drawing people into it. Probably some of the sessions he puts out there for people to see and sort of to see how much fun it is, what he's doing. And, there's an example where he's taken advantage of that system and now he's making a lot of money. So, your target, I'm not saying your target should be to make $2 million a year in training. I'm saying the model that is there is a solid model that people will pay. And this is the point that I think I want to get across. This is the reason why I don't talk about this a lot, because I've had a lot of pushback over the last 2 years from the freelancers that I work with and I support. There's been a lot of pushback in terms of pitching to people on when I say people will pay, your learners will pay for work where you're not involved, where you are doing a video and a quiz and they complete it themselves, you can bill them for that. That doesn't have to be just homework that's, I've talked a lot about homework recently, right? High quality homework. It doesn't have to be just a cherry on the cake. It doesn't have to be, okay, you're paying me 40 euros an hour and on top of that, you're gonna get my free publications and my PDF for top 10 grammar mistakes, and you're going to get the online package where I'm going to send you a homework every week through Google Docs or something like that. That those are seen as kind of like, for me, for the people I work with, the freelance language trainers I work with, that's seen just as the cherry on the cake. The true value proposition is the time that you're sitting in front of the learner. So if I'm making you pay 30 euros an hour, it's 30 euros for 60 minutes of my time, and that's what you're paying for. That's what you want to pay for. That's where the money should go, because that's the valuable product that I'm selling. And stuff that I've made online, I'm not going to sell it to you because I think it's a confidence issue. I think it's like the only thing you're going to pay for is my time. Anything else, it's just me trying to flog my wares. But we really believe that our time is valuable. We don't need to be convinced. You would never offer someone training for free. You know that if you sit with someone face to face, that is valuable because it's easy, it's tangible in the sense of, I know that I'm giving you an hour of my time that I could have been doing something else. So tangibly, you should pay me for that. If I'm going to sit here with you and dedicate an hour, 60 minutes of my time to you, then you should pay me for that. So that's tangible. You can really understand the money aspect behind that. But when you create something, a product, so online courses, quizzes, videos, Google Docs, whatever it is, you create a whole program. It could take you ages to do it. You could invest a lot of, you will invest a lot of time in it. I've done it multiple times and I know it takes a huge amount of time. I actually partially, I can confess, I despise doing it. I hate sitting and working on setting up the online programs, finding the videos on YouTube, sifting through all the crap that's out there on YouTube, trying to find a video that's relevant. Recording my own videos was a big turning point when I suddenly saw, all right, instead of spending 45 minutes, that's how long it sometimes took, 45 minutes searching through YouTube to find a video about meetings, you know, to get good meeting language, to know what, I'm just going to invite the first person I see who speaks English into the room, and I'm going to say, right, we're going to sit and have a 4-minute meeting, you know, can you give me 4 minutes of your time? Yeah, no problem, we're just going to sit and could you try to fit these three phrases into the exchange we're about to have? You know, these are the phrases I'm trying to teach, you know, welcome to the meeting, the agenda is, did everybody receive the minutes? Could you just say that at the start, or I'll say it, or whatever, and then we'll just have a quick meeting thing, and then I'm going to make a video out of that, make a quiz out of that. Oh yeah, sure, no problem. All right, boom, record. Okay, so hi, welcome to the meeting. You know, did you receive the minutes? Done your video, get it in there. You know, that changed for me, but still, you still have to think about the objective. You still have to think about what grammar point am I going to show? How am I going to show it? What sort of practice activities are they going to do? Then you have to go back and check that your gap fills are all correct. Did you really take out the word that you wanted to take out? You know, does it work? You have to sort of road test it. Does it work? I'll do it myself, or I'll give it to a friend and they'll do it. Oh, you actually forgot to put in the than here because you had more blah blah than, and you forgot the than or whatever. There's some mistake. Okay, I have to fix that. And it, you know, just an incredible amount of investment to publish good online content. And I'm not talking the kind of English 360 or LMS level content where you're like putting in right answer, wrong answer, right answer feedback, wrong answer feedback, branching activities, where does it go if they get less than 80%, it goes here, you know, they have to redo the activity, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just that's maddening, and I don't touch that with a barge pole anymore. I'm doing my lessons on LearnBook, the platform that I created, so I'm doing sort of putting in a video, putting in some text, put, you know, questions that I've written myself, and then they just have to answer it by text or by audio or whatever. And even then, I know and I can confess, I still hate going into LearnBook and having to set up the lessons. I'm really happy when I can just copy and paste them, which is, I'm getting there. You know, you build up your online library of stuff, like we built up our paper libraries of folders when we were starting out. You know, when I started out 10 years ago, and I have a big fat thick folder or two of activities that I just pulled out and photocopied. I'm getting there with LearnBook, and I'm starting to have that bank of activities that I can copy and paste, but I'm not there. I'm still having to create stuff, and it drives me mad. So I understand that, you know, that is a problem, and it's obviously that's something that is intimidating when you're thinking of getting into it. But when you see those kind of, I don't want to say see dollar signs, because it makes you sound, you know, I'm not a good person at talking about making money and, you know, sales and stuff like that. I'm not that comfortable with it yet. I'm trying to get there because I know I need to for my future, for my life. But when you see that potential there, you change your perspective a little bit. So like I said, I've gotten a lot of pushback from trainers who say, no, the thing I'm selling is my time. I'm saying, you know, okay, fine. And that is valuable, but the stuff you create is also valuable. And if you record your own videos in there, it's still your time. So it is still valuable. And you should be selling that because it took you time to create it. You're talented. You've made something quality, you've made something engaging that the learners are going to enjoy doing. You know, think of it pedagogically, you can't see them that often during the week. So it's better actually if they see you for an hour and a half, and then they go away and they do an hour on the platform. That's double the amount that they would have done if they'd just seen you for that one face-to-face lesson. So they're doing more frequent practice, and you split that 1 hour lesson into 20-minute bits. You tell them to do one every 2 days, then that they're doing a little bit of language practice once every 2 days. That's great. And if it's videos you've recorded or good stuff that you find on the internet, you know, nice audio visual stuff, then they're going to be getting great exposure to the language, and you're in control of it. So you're making sure they only see what they should see, and that they've got the right kind of questions, and they're focused on the objectives. So, you know, all of that takes talent and skill and time. Your time is your money. So you've invested money creating that stuff. You absolutely should sell it. And so, you know, I'm trying to push that more and more these days. We really have to change the perspective of I'm selling my time and that's it. It has to be more, what I'm selling is the ability to get this learner to their objective, which is to improve their English for their exam, for their job, for their whatever, holidays, doesn't matter. That, you know, that's what you're selling, your ability to get them to that objective. So it's not really selling your time, because if you can do something faster, if I can get you to your objective as a learner faster than a colleague of mine who's just started and who hasn't done the right training, who hasn't done the CELTA or whatever, and they're just going in and having a chat and there's not that much of an objective there, I know I can get you to your objective way faster than my colleague. So either I make you pay more for my time, which I think learners don't really understand, because it's a very difficult promise to make, to say, I'll get you there faster. They say, okay, well, prove it. I can't. You have to just go through it and you'll see. Not to say I'm going to make you pay more for my time, but to say my program is so good, like I'm actually so good at doing, at getting you to your objective, that we're going to do the 1 hour and a half face-to-face that you would have done anyway with the other person, but I'm going to give you a bit more work to do at home. This is a whole package, and it'll make you practice more frequently, more often, and you will actually spend less total time, weeks and months, you know, that you would have spent 6 months with this friend of mine, this colleague of mine. You'll only spend 3 months with me because you're going to practice frequently, and it's going to actually get you there faster. So you're paying the same hourly rate. Some of those hours are online. It's a package. You know, I'm selling you a package. It's for 6 months. It's, or sort of for 3 months, it's whatever, $300. And that includes, you know, you don't even, to be honest, I started out being really detailed about it, being like, okay, that includes this many face-to-face hours, this many homework hours, whatever. I don't think you need to be that specific even. You can just say, you know, this is the package for $300, and I'll get you to where you need to be. We're going to have 1.5 hours a week. You know, the class is 1.5 hours a week with me, 1 hour a week online. And, you know, let them do the math. Don't show them, oh, well, I'm giving you the top quality face-to-face product and what I consider to be the lesser quality online product. You really have to, you can only do it if you really believe that what you're creating for them to do online is genuinely helpful and useful, and that will really contribute to bringing them towards their goal. So once you get yourself to that point, I mean, experiment with creating the material, experiment with giving it to some of your learners for free and see how they react to it. As soon as you see that they're reacting positively to it, you've got a good product and it's going to work. So monetize that and believe it, believe in it yourself, to say, I've made something that actually works, that really helps people learn language. I'm going to put that into my package. You're not just going to sell that. You're still going to see them face to face, because that's where the real money, that's where the real progress is made. We know that. But it's a whole package, and all of those bits of the package push them towards their objective and will get them there faster than someone else who's maybe only doing a face-to-face offer. It's worth really thinking about it, digging deep, having an experiment, developing some stuff. I know it's hard, but develop some stuff, experiment with it, and see if you can get yourself to the point where you're like, actually, I've developed something that really does help people. And then monetize that. And once you've done that, suddenly, instead of getting paid 30 euros an hour, you're getting actually paid 60 euros an hour, because you've billed for part of the package where you're not present. So you've invested in creating that material, and then you're selling that without actually being present. Therefore, your time becomes worth more, because the more, you know, every hour you do that's 30 euros is coupled with an hour that's online that's also being paid already, and theoretically it's been paid at a rate of 30 euros, although you wouldn't tell the learner that. So you, what you understand from that calculation is you'll actually have 60 euros an hour if you do 1 hour a week face-to-face, 1 hour a week online, and 1.5 hours face-to-face, 1.5 hours a week online. Then half of that time you're actually doubling up the money that you're calculating being paid for your face-to-face time. Think about it this way. If I had 20 hours a week face-to-face with learners, each doing 1 hour a week, then I have 20 learners. So I have 20 people paying me 30 euros an hour. If I have 20 hours a week and I have 20 learners, and those 20 learners are also doing each 1 hour a week online, I'm actually pulling in 40 hours a week of paid time, but I'm only present for 20 of it. I still have the same number of learners, but I've actually doubled the amount of work they do, and I've doubled the amount that they theoretically pay for that work, because they're doing more frequent practice. I've actually doubled the amount that they're paying, but they understand that they're actually getting, you know, I wouldn't do it with current customers. I'm saying the next customers who are coming in, where you're selling them a more intense package, and it's a bit more expensive per week, but it's with more content. They see, okay, this is a package that's not just 1 hour a week face-to-face. It's 1 hour a week face-to-face plus 1 hour online. So that's a package with lots of content, and I see the price, and okay, I accept. You know, it works. People are doing it. People are getting paid a lot of money to do it. So if you're telling yourself, no, that's not me, I do high quality training, I think you're cheating yourself out of money and a potentially brighter future as a language trainer. I think you're fooling yourself, because you don't know what your clients would say. And maybe your current clients say, no, 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 I wouldn't like that. But maybe when you start offering that, you'll get different clients that you didn't have before. And maybe they will actually pay for that happily. Maybe they'll be like, that's a great product. I would love to pay for that. Yeah, I really want to work at home. And you're like, whoa, okay, I've actually got somebody who wouldn't have considered it before because they can't commit to face-to-face training, but because they see that it's 50-50, they actually want to go for it so they can do some work in their pajamas at home and not have to, you know, dedicate too much time to me every week. Do 1 week face-to-face and the next week online, or whatever configuration you want to make it, where they're like, oh, I only have to come twice a month, that's cool. And the other two times I can do work at home, and that means I'm always doing work and I'm always progressing. What a nice offer. And you're like, oh, actually, I was maybe... fooling myself into thinking that this was some sort of, you know, fad or whatever. It's not a fad. It's not going away. It's only getting bigger. There's only more influencers out there. Instagram is exploding with people teaching English. If you ignore this wave and you don't try to get yourself online, you don't try to develop some sort of online offer to compete, maybe some of those learners that you would have got in the future for your face-to-face are going to stumble onto Zhu Wei on his, you know, Chinese site, who's now started offering courses in English. And not to Chinese people, but to anybody in the world, and people see that he's super popular and he's really good at teaching and he's fun and whatever, maybe they won't come to you for your training, they're gonna go to him because he promises results, he has the statistics, you know. We're gonna start getting competition from these influencers. These are not big companies coming in, this isn't Speaks and, you know, whatever in your country there is, Babbel or something like that. It's not a big, super e-learning company, you know, big proper corporate thing, where we're like, oh, that's not competition for me. People appreciate my quality face-to-face time. Yeah, but there's quality face-to-face teachers out there like you who are putting their stuff online and who are selling it. And people might actually take it because they see, okay, well, these are two very fun teachers that I'm going to get a very interesting experience from. Yeah, one of them is going to be super personalized and the other one is going to be half personalized, half online. You know, it seems like, you know, the other one's got 3 million followers. So, you know, and they've got 300,000 five-star reviews of people saying, oh my God, you changed my life, I've learned English so quickly, I'm gonna go with that person. You know, we don't have any other rating system, we don't have any other quality assurance system to go from to convince people to choose us over somebody like that. So watch out for these influencers, they're coming, they're getting bigger. They might even be starting up in your country, you don't know. Get in there early like Zhu Wei did, get started, and maybe you'll actually have a brighter future as an English trainer. I'm going to talk more about this maybe in future episodes, but for now, I just wanted to get that out there that, you know, there is the possibility of earning more money as a language trainer. People are doing it. Go and research them and think about, are you sure that you're making the right decision not doing that for yourself? Thanks for listening. Thanks for checking out this podcast. And if you want to know more, please follow me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. All the links are in the description. I really look forward to seeing you in the next episode.